From the KBUT studios in downtown Crested Butte, I'm Jackson Petito with your local newscast for Thursday, September 3rd. Nearly 10,000 people joined Representative Jeff Hurd on a telephone town hall last night. Constituents across Colorado's 3rd Congressional District asked the congressman questions on a variety of issues, including health care for veterans, wolf reintroduction, and water rights. A caller from Ouray asked about the latest plan to manage the Colorado River and whether President Trump could override any agreement and divert water to a preferred state.
I'm not a fan of the federal government stepping in. I will tell you, if the president or the administration or the Secretary of the Interior directs those things, I don't believe that Interior has the authority with respect to the upper basin to make those sorts of things. So we would absolutely challenge that in court. The lower basin is a little bit different just because there's a separate law that applies to them. But we would absolutely stand up for Colorado's water rights under the compact, under the law of the river.
Hurd said he thinks the latest proposal to manage the Colorado River could have been worse, but he criticized the provision, which means the plan would be revisited every 2 years.
Changing the plan every 2 years is not sufficient for water operators, for communities, for agricultural producers, the farmers and ranchers who grow our food, and for communities that need stability and predictability in deciding what they should be investing in and what they should be doing with respect to infrastructure and maybe building things. So the solution is something that I think we need to all agree on as the 7 states, the upper basin and the lower basin.
Congressman Hurd also talked about the need to secure the Shoshone water rights. This past May, the Department of Interior announced it was releasing $40 million for the Shoshone Water Rights Preservation Project, money that had been allocated under the Inflation Reduction Act. Tomorrow is the deadline for the state to certify Colorado's election ballot. Benta Berkland has more for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Voters will weigh in on more than a dozen statewide ballot questions this fall. The initiatives span everything from voter ID requirements to the constitutional right to hunt and fish to increased taxes for wealthy Coloradans. Voters will also decide whether trans youth should be required to play on sports teams aligned with their biological sex. Only one initiative was referred by the legislature. The Democratic proposal would let the state keep more money under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, or TABOR, to pay for early childhood education and K-12 schools. Voters in certain Front Range communities will also decide on a sales tax increase to help fund a proposed train from Pueblo to Fort Collins.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance, and this is KBUT. With one of the initiatives on the ballot, Colorado voters will get a chance to decide on a proposal to replace the state's flat income tax with one that cuts taxes for most taxpayers and raises them for the wealthiest Coloradans. Here's CPR Health reporter John Daly.
The measure is formally called Initiative 195. The Secretary of State's office confirmed Tuesday supporters gathered enough signatures for it to qualify for the November ballot. It would cut taxes for 97% of taxpayers and raise them on the wealthiest 3%. Backers say it'll bring in $2 billion annually, which will fund new investments in K-12 schools, healthcare, and childcare. Opponents gathered signatures for a competing measure to cap the state's income tax where it is at a flat rate of 4.4%. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
And this is the KBUT Newscast. Governor Jared Polis tried to be patient with the Trump administration when seeking information about a tuberculosis case inside the Geo Detention Center in Aurora, according to federal court documents. CPR's Allison Sherry has more.
The state has now sued the Department of Homeland Security and the Geo Detention Facility, which is run by a private contractor, for not following a state public health order and not providing requested medical information. But emails leading up to a lawsuit filing a few weeks ago show Polis's office repeatedly and diplomatically trying to get information from both the detention facility and the Department of Homeland Security. Polis's office told CPR News that all of this could have been resolved with a, quote, normal meeting and information exchange between GEO and public health officials. That never happened. Now the lawsuit continues in federal court. I'm Allison Sherry, CPR News.
And you're listening to KBUT Community Radio News. Thanks for tuning in.
Support for the Noon Newscast comes from the law offices of Elizabeth P. Appleton, PC. Beth's firm is a general civil practice, including real estate and property, business, homeowners associations, and more. Beth also serves as a guardian ad litem and child advocate. 349-6454 and Beth at eppletonlaw.com.